Basketball Gamers, welcome to episode number 138 of the NLSC Podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. Joining me as always is Ben, you may know him in the forum as Arcane.
Hey everyone.
And we are back to talk to you this week about our favorite topics, basketball and basketball video games. A little bit to talk about this week, but before we get into that, how have you been, Ben?
I've been good. Been busy down hill in Victoria, done some work around Michael's house, a little bit of sightseeing, so yeah. Been productive.
And still not loving daylight saving, I imagine?
No, it's weird and unnecessary. like tonight I had dinner and it was somewhere between like 6:30. Or even yesterday's one, yeah, sorry. It was probably more around 7:30. But it felt like 3:30 in the afternoon. Just because of the daylight and that. I was like, I feel like the Simpsons scene where and Lisa,
Ned Flanders,
the Flanders, and they're in bed at 7 o'clock, and it's still daylight. That was that scenario. It's like, this is weird. Even just now, it was about just before 9 p.m. and it was still daylight. It was like, it's weird.
It is strange. I mean, I like to run. I mean, I've been doing it during the day in between jobs and such, so I haven't actually been taking advantage of daylight saving anyway. But it is good if you need to do something like that, to go for a walk or a run in the evening. But, you know, you go to the north, Northern Hemisphere, and that's basically what you get all the time. I mean, I remember going to the community event for NBA Live, what it would have been, NBA Live 09, at the time, game was still being made in Burnaby, in the EA Canada studios, and coming out of the studio at 9:30 at night, and it's all light, and this is so weird. Is it daylight saving? No, that's just Northern Hemisphere, man. That's just how it works.
Well, I mean, like, when I went to New Zealand, that with friends, sort of, between Christmas in 2009, 2010, you know, it didn't get dark until like 11:45, and basically just before midnight. So it was like, that was kind of weird, but it was kind of cool because being a tourist, more in that sense, you're able to really get a lot done.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's the theory behind daylight saving, but yeah, I know you guys don't do it up there in Queensland, so it's kind of weird to come down and do it. But I will say this, it's wonderful when it goes back to regular time. Standard time, and you realize that suddenly you've got that extra hour up your sleeve until you start thinking that too much, and then you're late again. So, but having said that, do have a few interesting topics to talk about this week. Well, I'd like to think we always have interesting things to talk about here on the NLSC podcast, but I mentioned NBA Live 09, and that's something that we'll bring up in our first topic this week, which is the NBA Live 16 roster updates. Now, you're still without NBA Live 16 or NBA 2K16 or a PlayStation 4 at the moment, Ben. But I do have mine, just to rub it in. Well, you do have one. It's just not with you there in Melbourne at the moment.
I made a decision to take my cat down and not much me.
It's, you know, well, you know, the PlayStation doesn't need feeding, so it's a responsible decision. So, you know.
It's priorities.
So you may be jonesing for some virtual basketball action. I have been playing a little bit, and of course the roster update for NBA Live 16 came through last week, the week 4 roster update, and happily it did add a few more missing players to the roster, including TJ McConnell, who has been starting for the Philadelphia 76ers for a majority of the season, if I recall correctly. So it's nice to see some players getting significant minutes actually added to the roster. A few incorrect jersey numbers were updated, the latest player movement was accounted for, and some ratings were updated as well as of the last week of action. Not, of course, the synergy data comes through daily, but actually doing some manual updates to the player ratings as well. But still quite a few missing players and a lot of content that does need to be updated. And we've talked about it before, but it has kind of been a bit disappointing, the roster updates this year for NBA Live 16. Definitely more accuracy and frequency is needed. And Izzy Snow, a great friend of the NLSC, shout out to Izzy, of course, for all the great work he does on YouTube and on social media for NBA Live and the basketball gaming community at large, brought up the NBA Live 365 updates for NBA Live 09, which was a great concept, the whole Made Fresh Daily. And really, that's something I'd like to see come back in NBA Live 16 and beyond.
Same, you know, it was innovation at the time, you know, really putting the game forward in terms of greater player accuracies and tendencies and all that stuff. So that was an awesome feature. And yeah, it'd be good to see it get back to that sort of quality and regular release and stuff like that. So hopefully next one they'll be able to bring it back properly.
I mean, as I said, we are getting the daily updates as far as synergy goes. So the the data powered by Synergy, which is nice to see. So you do see some evolution of the game, but that was a concept they really pushed hard when they brought in the dynamic DNA with Made Fresh Daily. And actually leading up to the release, they had something on the official site, Made Fresh Daily, some daily content, which was great for me because I had a ready-made bulletin to post every day on the NLSC. They were doing some kind of content that I could link to. That was nice. But even more so when the game came out, the whole Made Fresh Daily concept, bringing those rosters in daily with the Synergy updates and the lineup updates and the ratings changes. I mean, huge ratings changes. You could probably leave that to once or twice a week or after a significant few games or something, but certainly would like to see some more detailed roster updates coming through every day.
Yeah, considering it has felt like a step backwards compared to what they were able to do, you know, last generation.
And, I mean, of course, we've talked about it before as well, but actually having the ability to edit the rosters ourselves, I mean, if you see an incorrect jersey number, it's a small detail but still annoying, but if we have that in-game edit player, we can say, okay, well, it's wrong, so we'll just go and we'll correct it ourselves, share the roster through the EA Locker back in the day, and... Or, of course, we could upload it onto the NLSC downloads database when it was a PC version, which we'd love to see again. We've mentioned that once or twice as well. But without that, that functionality allows us to make those corrections and changes and not have to wait for the official roster updates. And that's why we really need to see manual roster editing, in-game roster editing from the user end in NBA Live 17 and beyond.
For sure.
But we will see what's going to happen with the roster updates. Hopefully, by the end of the season, we do have all the players accounted for. We are sending through that feedback, and Chris Jacobs of the Gaming Tailgate, spoon-rising myself there. Chris has been helping us out with that and posting some great feedback, so shout out to Chris as always. So, and if you have some feedback on the rosters, post that in the forum. We'll shoot that along to the development team as always. Now, on the NBA 2K front, you brought this to my attention. I missed it on Twitter. You brought it to my attention before we started recording, but apparently a major event for NBA 2K, presumably NBA 2K16, has been teased, and it's coming December 12th. So we do really well with our predictions and speculation here on the NLSC podcast. Yeah, sure. Wink, wink. So it only makes sense that we speculate. So what do you think it'll be, Ben?
I think it's a 12 Days of Christmas feature where you can win something new each day, whether it be VC or unlockable item, whether it be an attribute, or maybe contract players sort of thing, to even accessories and gear kind of stuff. That's what I think.
That makes a lot of sense. And again, yeah, being the 12th, that will count down to Christmas Eve, so the timing certainly works. I can't think of anything better than that, so I'm just going to have to yield that one to you. But if you're right about that, that would be cool. That would be cool to get the daily prizes and everything. And I mean, I actually wrote an article about it in Monday Tip-Off a while back about... the fact that a lot of locker codes come through at times where, you know, if you're not in the States, it's not exactly an ideal time to be punching those locker codes while it's still active. So if there is a good amount of giveaways for 2K players worldwide, and obviously the game does sell really well worldwide, so much the better.
For sure. I mean, as long as, you know, it's not something like 100 VC, like what happened to John and things like that.
Oh, jeez.
You know, it needs to be a little bit more substantial than that.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? You know, our obligatory Simpsons references continue, but being a geek for the commentary they're talking about, once one of the writers was talking about going to the store when trying to find one of the figurines, and all the figurines were sold out except Superintendent Chalmers and Resort Smithers. So he says, can you imagine that on Christmas Day? Congratulations, son, here's Resort Smithers. And just, I hate you, Dad. That's kind of how I feel when I get 100 VC or 100 Mighty points, so... So yeah, as long as the rewards are worth it, and you, no matter where you are in the world, if you log in a bit later, you can grab something, some free goodies and everything, maybe an ugly sweater, an ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah, I expect a lot of that. Like, it'll be something that people will get.
I want at least one ugly sweater. If I can get an ugly bull sweater, that's fine. I'll rock that in my team. I mean, I still haven't got my face scan to work, so I might as well, it looks pretty ugly, so I might as well pair that up with... The in-game sculpting that I've done has turned out really terrible, so I might as well pair that with an ugly sweater. Why not?
If only you get to burn it in my career. It's your my career option.
Well, they are E10 plus now, aren't they? So
yeah.
It's No fear of kids playing with matches. So we'll see in a couple of days. At least we know that that one's coming, going to be announced on December 12th. So we do have a couple of days that where this speculation will actually be speculation. It's not going to break as soon as we finish recording. So that's nice.
We're finally ahead of the curve on this one.
And only because it's time.
Yeah.
So, of course, we have a great modding community here at the NLSC for both NBA Live and NBA 2K. Lots of great stuff's been made throughout the years. You and I have been a part of that modding community for, well, over a decade now.
12 years, for me.
Let's see, 1998 for me. So, yeah, 17 geez. Years and counting, I guess. And I don't release as much as I used to, and I kind of miss that. But to that extent, that's kind of what we wanted to talk about in this segment here. This is actually a suggestion from John Jousming. Shout out to John again.
Hey,
sent us a list of topics that I've been keeping for slow times. And this is kind of a slow period for the basketball game news, so I thought it'd be a good time to talk about it. And it has been something I've been thinking of recently as I've tried to involve myself in some new projects. But the question basically is, and the topic rather, are there any mods on either of our bucket lists, for lack of a better word, that we have yet to make or see? Or what kind of projects would we like to make as far as basketball games go?
For me, something I've said that I've wanted to do but haven't got around to doing it is try and mod something for 2K on PC.
Mm-hmm. Same here, yeah.
I think given now that I've got a fair better rig now and I can actually really utilize the visual upgrades and stuff compared to what my current laptop is. So probably...
Because you've been playing on PS4 the last few years.
Yeah. I mean, I did buy 2K11 on PC.
Mm-hmm.
That ran okay. But yeah, I think now that, you know, and I'll really be able to showcase the visual quality of the work that I could do, providing obviously that I can do a good job like the equivalent of the HD stuff that I was doing for Live 06 and stuff. So
yes, with the did you do the was it the because you did the Dragon Mons, didn't you?
Yeah, oh, I did 03 and that is when I did that. But then in 06, yeah, I had the Jersey Center and stuff.
And the Dawners, was it as well?
Yep, those as well.
Yep.
So yeah, even if I just a couple of uniforms and stuff, like some of my favorite ones from over the years or ones that I think could be improved in the actual game, you know, I might give that a try.
Awesome.
This is, yeah, I got to spend the time learning how to do it.
How to do it, yeah. Well, we do have some great tutorials in the forum these days, and applying those mods is even easier now that they've come up with basically a way to simulate the custom art method from that we used to have in NBA Live back in the day. So it's a good time to get into modding. It was last year was kind of a down year for modding because we had to learn all the new file formats and everything, sure. And they developed the new tools. This year it's been a bit better because we've had a bit of an advantage, and it seems that some of the files have been maybe set up to be a bit moddable. So hopefully there's been some influence from our community and perhaps a former member of the community or current member of the community, former member of staff. You know who you are. I left those. You know, maybe he's had some influence, and I'm sure he's always advocating for the PC version. I mean, you can see how he's helped us out with the support in the 2K16 section. So left us always looking out for us, so I wouldn't put it past him to be putting in a good word for the modding community. Yeah, I'd like to give that a shot too. I'd really like to make a Fallout court, Fallout practice court.
Nice.
For NBA Live or 2K.
That'd be pretty cool.
Need to get the GEC for Fallout 4 and get some of the textures out of there and slap them in. I got this idea because in Fallout they've got a lot of the old like propaganda posters parodying the 50s,
yep,
McCarthyism,
yep.
And everything, and you know, like get those and like put them up like in the school gym wall and like have the remember the school gym court from NBA Live 06?
Yeah.
Like have that and like have.
Oh, it was Live 05, wasn't it?
It was 06.
Okay.
Yeah, 06 was the high school gym kind of thing with the stage, yeah.
I thought that was, like, no, I'm pretty sure it was 05.
Oh, that was 06? We'll check, and then after we finish recording, and we'll mention it next week. Well, one of us will be right. We need to bet on it somehow. pro wrestling, hair versus hair match. or beard versus beard, maybe, because I'm not ready to shave mine off. yeah, so I was thought about doing a Fallout court like that. I do miss doing the current rosters for NBA Live, but... You know, they take so long, and it's a lot of work to put in for games that not as many people are playing anymore. Even some of the better releases like 2005 and 06, you know, they're great for their era, but they have been surpassed, so people have moved on, and I love those games, but it's a lot of work to put in for something that not as many people are playing. I have started work on the Ultimate Jordan roster, which I would like to do for 2005 to 08. I have got the 08 version, a beta version of 08, out there. You can download that in our download section. I would like to finish that, so that's definitely on my patching bucket list, as the case may be.
Actually, sorry, you
Yeah.
are correct. Yeah, it is 06. So I was wrong.
Just Google. Okay, shave your beard.
Yeah, well, I was going to do it
Damn it, I have to think of something else.
anyway.
But yeah, I mean, I have these ideas. I mean, there's lots of little things that I'd like to do because I want to get a patch out there for all the PC releases as part of our 20th anniversary of NBA Live stuff. I still want to do some more articles for that. I'm falling behind, unfortunately. One of those situations where I had this great idea and maybe bit off a bit more than I can chew, especially with all the content I do each week, with the few articles and the videos and everything each week. It's I have these great ideas and I want to do them all. There's only so many hours in the day and other stuff to do, but I'll get there in the end. But I do want to get back into it. I'll always try and release one or two things a year.
I suppose I could do another Live with 16 startup screen, 06 and 08, like I did.
Oh yeah, 06, 10th anniversary.
Yeah. What else could I do?
Last of Us mod, Last of Us court,
That
Last of Us jerseys.
would be actually pretty. Yeah, that would
Just surprise everyone, just do all this stuff next week and just release it all for in time for Christmas.
mess up the AI for like the infected and all that stuff, and it's not a glitch, it's the cordyceps affecting.
There's the zombie mods,
Yeah.
just all just like doing it. What's it, a sweet effects tweak just to make everyone look like zombies?
Yeah.
So we've got some ideas. So stay tuned, everyone. It's whether it's NBA Live or 2K, we could see some wacky stuff. But speaking of old games, always fun to go back and revisit them, whether we're modding or playing them. And a few weeks ago, I debuted Way Back Wednesday with some content. I've done a couple of video retrospectives. I posted one yesterday. I got it done. It's been one that I've been meaning to do more video retrospectives for that series for Way Back Wednesday, but a couple of weeks have gone by when I haven't had time to do the video, so I've had to do an article instead. But I did get to do another video yesterday, which was a retrospective of a Super Nintendo game, NBA All-Star Challenge by Beam Software and LJN. And I know I shot through the video to you, Ben. Have you actually played that one before, back in the day?
No, I didn't even know. And it was Nintendo baseball.
Yeah, Super NES,
Okay, yeah,
Super NES, but
that would have
also Mega
been
Drive, Genesis, yeah.
definitely not a Nintendo. Like, it was more just playing Nintendo and friends on consoles, and never actually the only Nintendo device I owned, the original Game Boy.
Okay.
But yeah, it was more. I bought more the Mega Drive to around that time, and that and
Oh, yes.
friends had the Master System.
See, I was a Nintendo fanboy in the 90s. I had all the Nintendos, so but that was one I didn't actually play until years later when I picked it up off eBay, as I mentioned in the news post. And seeing it, as soon as I played it, I've got to do something with this on the NLSC one day, some kind of retrospective or something, because it's just, in some ways, it's such a bad game, but it's also an interesting one. And you would have seen it in the video, me trying to use the dunk button, because you've got to push, whether it's the jump shot button or the dunk button, you've got to push it once to start the jump, and then you've got to press it again to release it, which goes against the logic of every shooting mechanic ever in a basketball game. And it's really clunky, really, just terrible to use on dunks especially, and it looks bad. But it's an interesting concept, and I do think that if you had that game, if you did a good version of that game and put it on out there, digital only release, Steam, Xbox Live, PSN, you put it out there for $10, between 10 and $20 at the absolute most, and they flesh it out a little bit, and maybe if you had a few players to pick per team, I reckon that could be a fun alternative that you'd play in between Live or 2K.
Yeah, I mean, we've always said, variety is a good. We've held our sort of, I guess, allegiances to games in that past, or loyalties and all that stuff. So, but as we grow older and wiser, variety is the spice of life. So.
Yeah. So it was an interesting game to look back on. I do want to do another video soon, hopefully next week, but certainly in the coming weeks, if I don't get it done by then. But the next game I'll look at is actually, just to give you a bit of a hint, the next one I'm going to look at in video form anyway, was released in under three different names in three different areas of the world. So I have talked about it before, so you and others may know what I'm talking about, but I'll just leave that as the hint out there. That's a game that has three different names, three different versions. But it's one that I certainly enjoyed, so I will definitely enjoy doing that in video form. But I think that's about the end of our basketball video game discussion this week. A little bit more to talk about than I thought.
Yeah.
For this time of the year when it gets a bit slow.
Well, yeah, I mean, the stuff that John brought up was a good point. Good question in sort of being able to think of some things that we could do before, obviously, the next game comes out. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So we will continue to talk about basketball video games in the weeks to come, as well as the NBA. And that brings us to the NBA discussion this week. And newsflash, Ben, the Warriors are winning.
Yeah, didn't see that one coming.
And we'll get to it in a little bit, but that certainly blows my bold prediction from last week out of the water.
But
Stephen Curry continues to light up the scoreboard, dropping. He has more 40-point games already this season than he did all of last year.
Jeez,
like twice as many, I think, if I recall the statistic correctly that was thrown out there the other day, 6 or 7 compared to 3 last year, if I'm remembering that rightly. And just looking at his advanced stats at the moment, because that just shows some of the amazing things that he's doing. A true shooting percent of 70% on the season. A play efficiency rating of 34.7, which is a record-setting pace. That would be the best, most efficient season that anyone has ever had if he keeps up that pace, which is, you know, puts him in company of Michael Jordan, LeBron James, or Wilt Chamberlain. So there's no denying that Stephen Curry is having an amazing year this year, still shooting over 50% from the field. Let's see, 53%, 46% from three. He's only shooting 90% from the free throw line. He's missed a couple, so it's down from 94. Well, you know, MVP cancelled. So,
yeah, I'm sure he'll find his mid-season form very soon.
Oh yeah, he'll pick it up again. You know, he'll rebound to currently the tune of 5 games, 6 assists. You know, the only knock against you can really make against him is that he's averaging 3.6 turnovers to 6 assists. So the assist to turnover ratio isn't fantastic, but again, 32 points on really red hot shooting. So yeah, it's not much of a knock, really.
No.
But it has brought up the debate. You know, he's mentioned recently that he'd like to chase Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time. I think he needs a bit more of an all-round game and many more championships and dominating the league to do that. You know, even with a record-setting year this year with the PER, the player efficiency rating, you know, that is just one season, a fantastic season. You know, it's going to take more than that, I think, to overtake not just a Jordan, but many other players in the all-time great list. But a lot of people have been saying that he is currently the best player in the league. Now, for many years now, that's been usually a debate between Kobe and LeBron, and in recent years, LeBron has taken that title quite firmly in his grasp. So looking at it now, I thought we'd have a quick discussion on it. Do you think Curry is the best player in the league, or is it LeBron or someone else entirely? Don't say Hassan Whiteside. Although he does have more blocks than a lot of teams in the league right now, so... Also, it's not Derrick Rose. I'm not going to be a fanboy either, so... Definitely not Rose, sadly.
I think it's fair to say right now that he is, at this stage of that, he is the best in the league. And shooting three-point shots at such a high clip and rate and that, and being consistent, that's pretty difficult. So, you know, it's not an easy, not so much stat, but damn it, what's the word I'm looking for here? So, I'll go with skill to have to...
Sure.
To be able to shoot that consistently, so from such range, and even testing his range at times,
yeah. there's no rating in video games for Stephen Curry's 3-point shooting right now, I don't think, because it maxes out at 99,
yeah,
and the range maxes out at about 26 feet, yeah. So in the game ratings, so yeah, I mean, I think he is not only the best shooter in the game today, but probably the best shooter of all time statistically and to the eye test, the way, you know, look at the way he just knocks down shots in defenders' faces, things like that, and the stats back it up as well. I still feel that LeBron is the better all-around player and the better defender. So Curry is playing the best basketball right now, but whether he's the best player in the league, I feel a bit iffy about that. Like, I think he sort of needs to maintain this for a season and really dominate the league for a few years before you could say, yes, he is now the number one player in the league. I mean, you see what LeBron did last year in the finals with the Cavs being depleted by injuries and coming a couple of games of beating those Warriors, you know. And who was the MVP in the last finals? Iguodala. Yeah. So And that's not to say that Curry didn't perform well at all in the finals. Although, as somebody pointed out, the other statistic with Stephen Curry, he has still yet to score a single point against Matthew Dellavedova.
Wow. Okay.
So, score one for Ned Deli, that respect. Waiting for the Cavs and Warriors to match up against. Is that Christmas Day? It's a Christmas Day game, isn't it?
Let's check. So we
That's a really good present, if so.
schedule.
The Warriors schedule myself December 25th. Cleveland Cavaliers, yeah. That's Christmas Day. Fantastic. Good day to have League Pass for that one. So I'll enjoy that. But yeah, I mean, I think he is playing the best basketball, as I said, but it's hard for me to really go past LeBron for his, because he's still playing pretty well himself.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah,
And,
his stats haven't dropped or anything like that, and so yeah, I mean he's contention in talking, but I know just at this stage for me, Curry is just having such an exceptional start, but it will come down to the end of the season and whether he can stay that hot and consistent for the entire season, and that's going to be the big test. So.
definitely, definitely. But Curry is not the only player having a great season. Blake Griffin's not doing too bad either. And it's kind of been overshadowed with Curry's numbers, but Griffin got off to a hot start. I'll just bring up his numbers. I forgot to bring that up earlier. So he's averaging 24 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, shooting 52% from the field. Again, playing about 34 minutes a game as Curry is. He got off to a really good start. Griffin, but the Cavs themselves, as the Cavs, the Clippers rather, they're kind of struggling at the moment.
This is a
I mean, they are fourth in the West, but 13-9,
let's
7-3 in their last 10. I use the word struggling a little bit too easily, I guess, but I would have thought they'd be better than 13-9 now, and they've blown a couple of games that I thought they should have won,
well, yeah, I
but
mean
they are.
that Warriors one, that was a big one that they should have
It
won.
looked like, yeah, it looked like they could have put an end to the streak before it became a record, but they did choke that away. And I suppose looking at the rest of the league, apart from the Warriors and the Spurs, we talked about this before we started recording, but the Spurs at 18-5, normally that's a fantastic start. It's just overshadowed by 23-0. But then you drop right down, the Oklahoma City Thunder, 13-8, Clippers, 13-9. In the East, a lot of teams with 8 or 9 losses as well already. So, I mean, apart from the Spurs and the Warriors, a lot of people are close to the 10 losses already. So, and just kind of hovering just above that 500 mark. So, I guess I'm exaggerating that a bit. But anyway, I did think the Clippers would be off to a bit of a hotter start. Griffin is playing well, but it seems that the Clippers aren't necessarily happy with the performance of the team and some of their signings, as apparently they've gauged trade interest for Lance Stephenson and Josh Smith, who they both acquired during the offseason.
So yeah, this just didn't work out so well. Yeah, I mean that's a bit of a surprise to so soon to look at. You think you'd give him a season to adjust to the system, maybe?
Yeah, 20 games doesn't seem like a whole lot,
No.
but so Stephenson has played started 10 of 21 games. He's averaging just 5 points on 43% shooting. So his four points hasn't he's started 3. Josh Smith has played all 20 will play 22 games. He's averaging 5.6 points a game in he's only playing about 15 minutes a game. Lance Stephenson 18 minutes a game. So it's kind of a logjam there in the on the wing with the Clippers, I guess.
I
They got
suppose.
Crawford, Rivers, Paul Pierce, of course.
I suppose with Lance Stephenson, he's 19 million or 9 million in a season, or this season in salary, and that you want a bit more production out of.
Definitely, definitely. So I mean, his career's kind of hit a bit of a skid because he was a borderline all-star in Indiana,
Yeah.
and then was a disappointing signing for the Charlotte Hornets, and they got rid of him, and now with the Clippers, looks like he might be moving on again, possibly a buyout. He can be traded now. Josh Smith can't be dealt until after December 15th, after signing as a free agent in the offseason. But
Well, that's only just a few days away.
that's just a few days away, yep, so it could happen soon anyway. But apparently they have been gauging interest. Apparently there's not much interest, and with them not performing well, it's not really a surprise, to be honest.
That's true.
And there's a just reading a quote here from an unnamed front office executive. They are talented, but when you add people like that, it does affect the chemistry of their team. I don't think they'll be traded. It's a tough thing to do because they don't have a lot of takers beforehand. So with their reputation, I guess, and with the bad performance, yeah, it looks like buyout or stick with them, really.
Yeah, I mean they could come in handy if there's ever injury troubles. So yeah, but still, I
Yeah.
suppose it's still.
Well, if they get cut, they'll latch on somewhere else fairly quickly, I have to imagine.
Well, has Nate Robinson been signed?
He don't think he's been signed. He was cut by the Pelicans
Yeah,
after a couple of games.
that's what I meant. He's sort of in that sort of similar category of,
Always latching on.
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. A good comparison. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with them. I don't think they'll be traded though, because that's a not unless they are also trading Blake Griffin and need to throw them in or something because Chris Paul. But somehow I don't see that happening. Did you see DeAndre Jordan's dunk on Greg Monroe?
Don't think it was
We're...
really a dunk. I think it was the Superman Dwight
It's a
Howard dunk.
Superman throw-in, yeah. But it was pretty forceful. It almost flipped up and
Yeah, it
went in
went
twice.
in twice. Yeah, that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's an extreme baby hook shot, really, not a dunk.
You and I, we like our dunks to touch the rim, the hands to grip the iron. Yes, I can definitely respect that.
Not 19 video game style
Yeah.
hand physics or hand and rim physics.
If you need, well, NBA All-Star Challenge, if you can even get the
Yeah.
dunk to work in the first place.
Well done.
Hey, speaking of video game performances or video game-like performances, I mean, Stephen Curry has been having them all season. 10 years ago, it's the anniversary, 10-year anniversary of, well, I'd say it's a video game performance, but it's very hard to replicate in video games because the CPU is kind of cheesy sometimes. But Tracy McGrady, 13 points in 30-odd seconds, either 33 or 35. I've seen both listed as the official time, but either way, 13 points in under 40 seconds, shall we say, to beat the Spurs, and that was a one of the most amazing performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, hasn't not too many players have come up close to replicating that for at least all this time, and that's a it was a very historic player that's there.
You talk about replicating it. Who's the guy who's doing all the impressions at the moment? It's B dot.
B dot is yeah. He did the Reggie Miller impression.
Yeah. Well, this needs to be his next one, the 13 in. Yeah, has he done that one yet? 13 in 30 seconds?
No, he's mainly just been doing player imitations and that, so where now it's more seems to be scenarios like moments and all that stuff. So it'd be cool to see what he does and if he does some of those replications and stuff like that. But that he's Reggie choking with the Knicks one was awesome, and then the Spike Lee reaction priceless.
Yeah, that was well captured. B.A.5.
That's right.
Had to Google that one. So yeah, he's always doing the entertaining impressions. But there, I think that needs to be his next one, the 13 in 30 seconds. And yeah, such a. I mean, you look at a performance like that, and I remember we had a discussion in the forum years ago. What was more impressive, that or Kobe's 81 points? And it's a tough comparison because they're both very unique. But in some ways, I think, well, Kobe 81 points, that's reaching a plateau that only one person has scored more. Will Chamberlain's 100. But at the same time, we've seen a lot of players just pour in 50, 60 points, have big shooting nights when they take a lot of shots, big scoring nights when they take a lot of shots, rather. But seeing someone do the impossible, bring a team back and win with 13 points in under a minute.
It's essentially less than two possessions.
Yeah, it's
Well,
a tough comparison.
two possession shot clocks, I should say. So that way.
I mean, they're both rare feats, but I swing back and forth as to which is the rare, which is the more unlikely. I mean, you give a great scorer that many shots against a mediocre defensive team like those Raptors were, I think other players could have done that,
And not to mention,
but
I only
it's
just have. There was one assist that game, was. Oh, actually, no, it was no assist. It was.
one or two assists or something, but or something. It was incredible when you're shooting that many times, but because that also had a 4-point play, T-Max game, which is pretty rare. Unless your name's Jamal Crawford, then it's pretty common. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what's the better highlight. They're both spectacular performances in their own right, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's like I say, it was hard to pick when we had the discussion in the forum, which was the most more impressive because they're both impressive in their own right.
I'd probably go with T-Max one. I mean, yes, it was selfish, but it was only for such like ball hogging in a sense. But it was such a short amount of time as opposed to whole 48 minutes in that.
There's a miraculous element, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's like Reggie's 8 points in 9 seconds, the Rodney Rogers. Remember Rodney Rogers doing it back in the day as well?
Yeah.
When yeah, those things like that, they're even rarer. So yeah, I guess we can argue it back and forth as to which is best as fans. But when it comes down to it, it's amazing basketball either way.
That's for
So
sure.
we've get to see some amazing hoops in our time as basketball fans, as old men of 30 something. The Philadelphia 76ers, in other breaking news, continue to lose. Of course, they have won one game. Just as I came up short on my bold prediction last week, unfortunately you didn't get yours either.
Yeah.
The 76ers did not win their second game of the season. In fact, they gave the Spurs their best ever victory, the largest margin of victory in franchise history, as they beat them by 51.
Yeah, that was pretty hard.
So the Spurs and the Warriors have both beaten teams by 50 plus this season. And the big news this week with the 76ers is that they've hired Jerry Colangelo, formerly involved with the Suns and USA Basketball, of course. And there's a bit of controversy here because it appears that the rest of the owners have stepped in and kind of forced the league, and the league has in turn forced the 76ers' hand to make this hiring. And the suggestion is that the other teams are sick of seeing the Sixers tank and saying, well, okay, you got to get better soon instead of just tanking and losing games. Here's someone with a proven track record of being able to make these great moves and manage a basketball team. So, start making some positive changes,
Yep.
from a 1-20 club. So, assuming that's the case, that the league has pressured the 76ers to make this move, is that right? And whether it's right or not, do you think it will benefit the Sixers in the long run?
Look, I think I'm okay with it because I think if fans and all that aren't going to show up, it tarnishes the league a little bit if the constant poor performances in that sense. And it looks like the management is got its head in the sand and not knowing what to do in that. So I think it's beneficial to the team in terms of elements from financial stability with people actually going to the games. Helps the players morally in that way, in or
Morale,
yeah,
yeah.
morale, because it's like it looks like something's actually going to happen now. Or there's
It's taking the next step because they've
yeah.
had that first great, the great first step of, okay, let's not overpay veterans. The veterans are the way down. Let's not overpay to be mediocre because that was kind of what they were doing for a lot of years there, the 76ers. Let's not just spend a lot of money to be average. So let's get the youth movement going. Like, let's put together a young, talented team that can be good in a few years' time. Good in theory, they're still struggling to actually get the right players. So that's the first problem. Second problem, what's step two where we actually start making some steps forward and getting some veterans in to mentor the young guys? We talked about that last week as well. Or was that the week before? Probably last
It's,
week.
I think it was last week.
With Okafor's off-court troubles. Yeah,
Yeah,
so
yeah.
bring in some veterans who are affordable and can help on the court and mentor the guys on the court and off the court, and take that next step, because at the moment they're still stuck in that step one of lose as much as possible and draft high.
Well,
And
if the Clippers have their way soon, Stevenson and that's. And Stevenson could be on the way out soon. So there's
are
some
those
form
the
of
guys you
veteran.
really want them
Yeah, I
mentoring young
know.
guys, though?
Well, they could help for his boxing career or street fighting career.
I suppose.
But yeah, it's look something needed did happen in Philly. It was embarrassing, and the fact that how many games they have won over the last say 4 years, it's not good. Not
No.
good for the league in that. So I have. I think it was right for the NBA to actually step in and say, "Look, enough is enough. Here's some assistance." So
Yeah.
yeah, I think good move by Silver.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's not, you can say that maybe everyone else should mind their own business, but as you said, it makes good business sense for the Sixers not to be constantly tanking year after year. So, yeah, I'm fine with the league saying, okay, you've got your plan, but you need a bit of help with this. Here's a proven basketball mind to help out in the front office. And the rest of the league has the right to say, well, we're all trying to compete, and you're not. And you're trying to take advantage of a system that is meant to help teams get back on their feet and redistribute the talent around the league and everything. And I still think there's merit in the way that the draft lottery works. But when teams do start taking advantage of it like that, that's when you have to step in perhaps and say, well, okay, it's time for you to find new ways of doing things. So we'll see how that works out. But, there's not really much you can do in the immediate future. There's not a lot of assets you can trade, but perhaps you can bring in some high character guys on good contracts to be those mentors and take on those veteran leadership roles.
Should there be a sort of a, we'll say a limit? Like, if there's teams can have bad years, let's not argue that. So if they have, say, 2 bad seasons in a row, they can be entitled to that to the lottery pick. But if it gets too suspicious where they're having three or four consistently, then I think cut them out of the lottery in terms of the, you know, the first couple of picks in that. So it'd be
Yeah,
less of a deterrent.
that's an interesting idea because, and actually, when you mention that, reminds me a little of when the Grizzlies and Raptors entered the league and they were barred from getting the top pick for the first few years, because the Raptors actually won the lottery in 1996, and because they couldn't have the top pick, they ended up getting the second, got Marcus Camby. The 76ers took Allen Iverson, number one that year. That's a decent idea. I mean, the whole reason that the rules about the different weights, the weighting system in the lottery, was to prevent teams from prevent them from winning it too often. Like you look back and when the Magic won it 2 years in a row, despite just missing out the playoffs the year they got Shaq, and that's when they brought in the weighted lottery system. So yeah, I kind of like the idea of saying, well, you know, you've been in the bottom three for 3 or 4 years now. You can only you know, you're restricted to say the no higher than fifth. For example, you know.
And you know, if they continue, you know, you drop them out of the top 10, so that way it forces them to correct their.
Well, so I mean, it's then you have to look at it like, I mean, the Clippers were a bad team for many years. I mean, some teams
Yeah, but also you got
struggle.
to remember the owner refused to spend money as well to draw the players in that sense. So, it's got to depend on that factor too. It's like they do have a salary cap. If they're not using it, then it's.
Well, there is a. I think they have, there's a minimum amount they have to spend each year because I know the Sixers have signed a couple of people in recent years just to get over that
Yeah.
threshold. I mean, the thought also occurred that how do you, when I said that, you know, you might have teams that struggle to get better for a while. You know, how do you police the intent of saying, oh, well, you're intentionally tanking, or no, you're trying as hard as you can. You just are terrible. You've drafted busts, and free agents haven't worked out. I suppose you could say if you have the worst record in the league 4 years or 4 or 5 years running, maybe that disqualifies you. If there's, you know, it's again, it's a good idea, but then just thinking about it a bit more, it's kind of like, yeah, how do you
Police it and manage it.
police intent,
Yeah.
and should you police intent, and how do you determine it? But in theory, it's a good idea though to, you know, it's if there was a way that could be done fairly reasonably, fairly and reasonably, I mean. It'd be one way again to prevent tanking. Like, well, okay, you can tank your way to a couple of number one picks, possibly, if you win the lottery, because you can have the worst odds and still not win the lottery.
Yeah, well,
In fact, more often than not, the team that doesn't have the best odds has won the lottery.
yeah.
So, in fact, that's the thing with the lottery: the tanking doesn't guarantee you the number one pick. So, in a way, the lottery already kind of works in that favor. You know, it only gives you a chance at the number one pick, the best chance. Not, you know, back in before they brought the lottery in at all. The idea that that the Blazers and Rockets were tanking for the number one pick in 1984, and just, you know, who could get the worst record in 1984 to get Hakeem Olajuwon at number one, and then the Bulls come in number three and get Michael Jordan, and it kind of doesn't matter anyway. But yeah, it's a tough one, tanking, because some teams are going to have a down year, and I think sometimes it's a bit overblown. But at the same time, you know, like you said, how many games have they won? And how many games have they lost in these last few years? It's so in that respect, again, to wrap it all up, yeah, like you, I have no problem with them, the league, say strongly encouraging them to hire Jerry Colangelo. I think it's a potentially good move for the front office and for the league to say, okay, it's time for you to start getting better, and you should be better. We want all the teams to be competitive. Yeah, I'm fine with it too. So we'll see what magic he can work, because he doesn't have a whole lot to work with at the moment.
I guess watch this space.
Watch this space, that's right. As you mentioned, the 76ers are 1 and now 1 and 21. They are the 1 in 1 and 21. So a little WWE reference there for everyone, since I can't make it about the Warriors now. And just glancing at some other standings, our team's dropped down the standings with a couple of losses. The East is still very competitive, still has 10 teams above 500 at the moment, with the West only has seven still, so the East is still doing better. So,
Yeah,
you know, go East.
and from memory, that the East has won against the West.
They have. So it's definitely not been the least in conference this season, with the exception of the 76ers, although the Lakers do counter that with the 3-19 Los Angeles Lakers. The Hornets, we noted before we started recording, are second in the league, 13-8. Second in the league, second in the East, 13-8. The Bulls lost, they were third, they lost to the Celtics and they dropped all the way down to eighth. That's how competitive it is in the East. One or two losses or wins or losses will reshuffle the entire top eight. But the Hornets are 13-8.
Yeah, and the Heat were number one in the East after beating Cleveland, and
Now
two
Cleveland's
losses
back
in
on
a
top.
two, Heat have lost two in a row, and they dropped down to six. So,
Down to six. So that's how quickly it's changing at the moment. So fun times in the kind of in both conferences. Again, there's a bit of competitiveness in the West from three down to six, seven, eight. And then you've got the Warriors just beating everyone on top. The Spurs at 18-5, the quietest 18-5 in the start in the history of the league because,
But that
again, when there's a team 23-0, it's.
that's generally the Spurs way, though. They just sort of go about their business. They don't make a fuss, and then show up playoff time, and everyone's
Win it
suddenly
all, yeah.
surprised, like, "Hey, wait a minute, you guys are here?"
You can't have that many 50 and 60 win seasons, so many times since 1990, since David Robinson arrived. And yeah, they are the perhaps the quiet, most quiet achievers in the history of the league, in one of the best franchises. But yeah, that's the Hawks still kind of all over the map. They're hard to figure out this season, the Hawks. They seem to screw me over every day in the daily predictions thread in the forum with the just when I have them figured out as going on a good run
Yeah,
or
to
being
run
a
someone
disappointing
the
team.
Hawks of that for me as well. It's like, I don't know what to. I think even at times, Orlando.
Orlando's won it because they're 12-10 at the moment, and
Yeah.
I've been picking against them, and it's been not going in my favor. So, but then I pick them and they lose. So, yeah, it's but they're right behind the Bulls, so I kind of want them to not go on a run at the moment. They can, especially since the Bulls have lost three in a row. But as I said, as a couple of times, the Warriors 23-0. It has. I did make a prediction last week, and this brings us to a new segment we're trying out. So it is time for this episode number 138's bold prediction for next week. And this is a segment where we make a bold prediction for the next week, and then see how we did at the end of well, the next time we record, I should say. Little intro there. Let's see if I remember to do some post-production effects on that. See if I can make it sound good. If I did, I hope you enjoyed it. If I didn't, hopefully my voice was enough, my delivery. So last week I predicted that the Warriors would lose their first game this season to the Raptors or Pacers. Raptors came damn close, just as I did the first time. But once again, they let it slip. And the Pacers, by the end, they came close, but they were down by double digits for a lot of the game as well. So, or at least whenever I checked in during the scores during the day on it. So either way, I've lost. My prediction was totally wrong.
And mine wasn't much better, so yeah.
You picked that the 76ers would win their second game against the Nuggets or Nets,
Yep.
and instead they lost by 51 to the Spurs.
Yep.
So it has come time to once again make a bold prediction and see how we go this week. Now I'm going to make a prediction about one of my favorite non-Bulls, Kevin Garnett. He had a throwback of a throwdown the other day
Against Blake.
on Blake Griffin, and that tore up social media, of course. Came out of nowhere, the sprightly legs of the 39-year-old Garnett getting up there to throw it down on BG and KG over BG. Not as high a leap as it would have been in his prime, but still a pretty nasty slam.
Yeah, definitely a throwback to the 99.
Definitely around that young KG, absolutely. So my prediction is going to be that he has not just a throwback of a throwdown, but a throwback game. I mean, he's not playing a lot of minutes this season, kind of making a solid contribution when he is. Per 36, he's averaging about 7 and 11, 7 points, 11 rebounds per game. I'm going to say that in the next week, has a game where he plays a few more minutes and has kind of a vintage game like Kobe had against the Wizards the other day. And I'm going to say it's going to happen in one of the two games that they play against the Nuggets in the next week. So don't let me down, KG, because the Pacers and the Raptors already have. So let's see if this bold prediction comes true. But what's your bold prediction this week?
Mine is that the Houston Rockets will lose more games than they win, but also throw in, because they play the Lakers twice this week, that him and Kobe will have some altercation or something, or some snubbing where,
Was that Dwight Howard?
yeah, Dwight Howard and Kobe, where, say, for instance, how a lot of teams have been showing some form of respect to Kobe at the end of the games and all that stuff.
Oh, yes,
Dwight
the
might,
farewell tour continues.
Dwight might snub him and not show some form of respect or something like that. Or say, for instance, during a rebound and they're sort of trying to fight for the same rebound,
Bit
that
of argy-bargy.
bit of argy-bargy elbow swing. So that's my predictions. I'm going deep for this
That's pretty solid. I think you might have better luck than I do,
one.
but these are bold predictions. It might Dwight Howard, yeah, only 8 shots per game this season. Two, three, four, fifth on the Rockets this year,
Which
behind
is
Harden, Ariza, Thornton, and Terrence Jones.
sad. Like, in all seriousness, he should be second, potentially even tie first.
Yeah, it should be a bit closer to Harden. Should be averaging 20 and 10 because he's shooting 58% from the field, so he's making the most of it. But I don't think the Rockets are making the most of him.
No. And that's could be what hurting their record. I mean, but then it could also be Harden. He's trying to be the man, and
Well, he was until recently shooting 30% from the field. Well, sorry, 30, 30%, over 30%, under 40%. Not quite Kobe levels, but not too far off at the same time. So he is averaging 29 points a game on 40% shooting, 31% from three, 87% from the line, and about 6.5 rebounds, 7 assists. So Harden's kind of doing his thing, but not very efficiently. No Steph Curry, but who is these days? So those are our bold predictions for the week, and check in next week to see how we did, because we do so well at them, of course. But we have somehow avoided talking about Kobe this week, but so it only makes sense that we finish our last topic talking about Kobe. We'd like to finish on either an amusing note here on the NLC podcast or an interesting statistic. And you pointed this one out to me. It was published on ESPN. The numbers don't reflect the latest game. The Lakers play the Timberwolves today. So I'm guessing the numbers are slightly off now. But at the time it was posted, it was noted that Kobe would need to make his next 71 shots to get up to Michael Jordan's field goal percentage with the Wizards, and that his performance is currently about equal with Jordan's worst 82 games over the span of his 15-year career.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to watch in terms of seeing how the fall for grace in that sense. And
So there's 2 for 15, 4 for 19 the other day.
yeah, was it 4 from 17 or something from 3-point line?
Yep.
So it's not looking good. And people were questioning how they thought how ugly Jordan's last season was, or even last 2 seasons were. It's making him look,
Pretty good, yeah.
yeah.
Wizard MJ is looking magical, really.
Because yeah,
But
Jordan's
the other stat, I alluded to earlier, but Hassan Whiteside has also been putting up. Speaking of amazing stats, that's kind of a negative one, and we've talked about Kobe a lot. But Whiteside from your Miami Heat has also got a pretty impressive statistic going right now.
Well, this is again from a few days ago, so not too sure how much it would have changed since then, but he's had a few big blocks and games that still this past week or 3 or 4 days since it was out. At this stage, he'd had 82 blocks in the season, and 6 teams that had less than that in total, and that
Yeah.
includes teams like Detroit Pistons, who had 65, Washington Wizards with 66. I'm trying to tell if that's because the logos that they used were very abstract formats. I'm trying to tell if that's the Knicks or the Mavericks.
Have you got the link there?
I've got the image, yeah.
Yep, just to shoot it through and I'll take a look if you like. Because I did see that one. That's the Suns.
No. The second on the left. Like,
Oh,
I'm
the
below
second
the
one.
piston because I was going top from.
Oh, okay. The triangle with the I'm going to say Spurs because of the colors, I suppose.
Oh, it's blue. I was thinking either Mavs or Knicks.
The lack of orange, I'm guessing, means it's the silver and blue. I'm guessing Mavericks.
Okay, all right, we'll go with that. Then it's the Cavs with 78, Grizzlies with 79, and Suns with 79 blocks. Yeah, that's an amazing stat right there.
Yeah. And those are some amazingly silly representations of the team logos as well.
Yeah, I mean,
Because
the closest one is obviously the Wizards Randall one.
Wizards, yeah, and the Grizzlies kind of represent like a
And Suns is
angular version of it, yeah. And
kind of
Suns,
okay.
the Cavs
But yeah,
still don't look fantastic, but yeah, there's the Pistons and the possibly Mavericks, yeah. But that's yeah, as on Whiteside, the block party continues all season, and he's after the rather unimpressive start with the Sacramento Kings all those years ago. He's really starting to make a name for himself in the league.
Yeah, I mean, right now I know, would you say he's the leading contender for Defensive Player of the Year?
Well, bigs usually get it. So if unless it goes to Drummond, but then with all those blocks, yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah, he's probably
When you're getting more blocks than
the team that Drummond plays
total
on. Yeah.
teams, it certainly has to put you in contention, I have to imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting to see how many, if he can get another couple of 10 plus block games and stuff like he's had. So, and his rebounding numbers are pretty good as well, and he does get points, you know.
Do you reckon he could get a quadruple double? I mean, Alvin Robinson did. Alvin Robinson was an all-star at least once or twice. But when you think of the quadruple doubles, Nate Thurmond had one, Hakeem Olajuwon had one.
Would it count,
Did Ron
including turnovers?
Turnovers don't count,
Okay.
no.
All right.
Otherwise, there could be a few players
Yeah.
that could have had triple doubles and quadruple doubles that otherwise normally wouldn't count. But he could get the 10 blocks, maybe some 10 assists, and
That's
certainly
right,
the 10 rebounds and 10 points.
yeah.
So,
So.
you think we'll ever see a quintuple double in the NBA?
Ooh.
I think we'd have to go into overtime, a couple of overtimes to get there.
Yeah, like those sort of four, even five overtime games that we see, and the person obviously not fouling out, there's a good
Yeah.
chance of it. It'd be a hell of an
I mean,
effort, though.
Michael Carter-Williams almost had a quadruple-double in his debut game, if you remember.
That's right,
It's
because he
the
had the crazy amount of steals, like 9
Yeah,
steals.
that would have been pretty cool. I mean, his career's not really gone spectacularly since. He did get Rookie of the Year, of course, but if that would have been a hell of a debut.
Oh, yeah.
A quadruple-double, one of the few to do it.
Could have retired happy after that.
Yeah, I averaged a quadruple-double for my entire career, so that would have been something. But yeah, some crazy stats to finish this week's show on, and more crazy stats coming this. It seems to be that way. This season's one of those weird record-breaking, weird stat seasons, which is kind of fun to see.
Yeah, it gives us something definitely.
Just a shame that the Bulls' record might fall. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'll find some way to put an asterisk on it, just like people put asterisks on the Bulls 72-10. I'll find a way to be a bitter old man. Don't you worry. But until then, that brings us to the end of another episode of the NLSC podcast. Hope you enjoyed tuning in. Certainly enjoyed talking about some interesting topics this week. If you did enjoy the show, we invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes. We're right there. If you want to listen to us every week, you can also listen to us on the go on the Stitcher app on your Android or iOS device. You can just search for NLSC Podcast and we'll be there. Follow us on Twitter at the NLSC. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do. So until next week, I'm Andrew.
I'm okay.
And get well, Hot Rod Williams.